Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, the Lord slays the king of the demons, text number 25. But we're not going to read the Sanskrit because there's no purport. Well, I'll just read the translation. Thereafter, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked Nrisingadev with his club, began to beat him. Lord Nrisingadev, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda might capture great snake. Natasya, text 26. Natasya hasto kalitas tadasura. Vikridato yava ahir gurutamataha. Asadva manyanta rito kaso mara. Gana chida bharata sarva dishnapa. You know that these verses weren't just made up by some aborigines. Even civilized people can't even translate, can't even chant them. Let the speaker make them up. They say that it was some person named Bopadev or someone, or maybe Vyasadev, sitting in the Himalayas, having nothing to do, just kind of scribbled a few notes, and they called it the Vedas. We can't even pronounce them. Sa. He, Hiranyakashipu, Tasya, of him, Lord Nrisingadev, Hasta, from the hands, Utkalita, slipped, Tada, at that time, Asura, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, Vikriditaha, playing, yavat, yadvat, exactly like, ahi, a snake, gurutamaha, of Garuda, asadu, not very good, amanyanta, considered, rita, aukasa, whose abodes were taken by Hiranyakashipu. Amara, the demigods. Gana Chanda, situated behind a cover of clouds. Bharata, O great son of Bharata. Sarvadishapa, the rulers of the heavenly planets. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Yudhisthira, O great son of Bharat, when Lord Nrisingadev gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hands, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it dip from his mouth, the demigods who had lost their abodes and were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon did not consider that incident very good. Indeed, they were perturbed. Purport. When Hiranyakashipu was in the process of being killed by Lord Nrisingadev, the Lord gave the demon a chance to slip from his clutches. This incident was not very much appreciated by the demigods, who were greatly afraid of Hiranyakashipu. They knew that if somehow or another Hiranyakashipu escaped from Nrisingadev's hands, and saw that the demigods were looking forward to his death with great pleasure, he would take revenge upon them. Therefore, they were very much afraid. Text 27. When Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hands of Nrisingadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and began to and again attacked the Lord with great force. Purport, when a sinful man enjoys material facilities, foolish people sometimes think, how is it that the sinful man is enjoying, whereas a pious man is suffering? By the will of the Supreme, a sinful man is sometimes given the chance to enjoy the material world as if he were not under the clutches of material nature, just so that he may be fooled. Sinful man who acts against the laws of material of nature must be punished, but sometimes he is given a chance to play, exactly like Hiranyakashipu, when he was released from the hands of Nrisimhadeva. Hiranyakashipu was destined to be ultimately killed by Nrisimhadeva, but just to see the fun, the Lord gave him a chance to slip from his hands. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Nayam gunebhyas kartaram drashta eva nupashiti gunebhyas chaparam veti madhvavam sodhigachiti. When one can see that beyond, that there is nothing beyond the three modes of material nature, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes, then one can know his spiritual nature, or my spiritual nature. Nanyam gunebhyas kartaram drashta eva nupashiti gunebhyas chaparam veti Madhvavan Sodhigachiti. When one properly sees in all activities there is no performer at work, then these three modes of material nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. So, people, what we're watching is not exactly the soul doing activities. We're watching the material nature performing the activities according to the three modes of material nature, or the combination of it. Or we're watching, when a devotee is doing activities, we're watching the spiritual nature carrying out those activities. The difference is the experience of the soul. When the soul is under the influence of the internal energy, then he sees everything as it really is. And when his soul is desiring, and therefore material nature is arranging activities in the material energy, then the soul is deluded by false ego, thinking himself to be the doer of those activities. So this is called illusion. Now watching other souls or watching the material nature performing its activities according to the desires of the soul, according to the karma that they deserve, one may easily become confused and wonder, if there is a God, why is he not just? Why is a good people, why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, for one, there's no good people in the material world. Everyone is bad. We're just imagining monodharma. We're imagining that some people are good and some people are bad, but everyone is actually bad in the material world. Bad in the sense that good people, they serve Krishna, and bad people don't serve Krishna. Serving Krishna means to water the root, and therefore acting for the benefit of all living entities. Not serving Krishna means to be watering my leaf, and therefore uselessly wasting my time and everyone else's time. Now someone may complain, but there are many people who are selflessly serving their country or their family, but no one is selflessly doing anything in this material world. Everyone is driven by lust and anger and greed. Either we're driven by prema, by our natural love for Krishna, or we'll be forced to be driven by lust, anger, and greed. And the resultant activities of such may be in the mode of goodness or may be in the mode of passion or ignorance. Ignorance is certainly more distressful for the performer and for those who are, he associates with, while passion and ignorance are less. But in any case, even if I do good deeds and I make people obliged to me in so many different ways for all the good deeds I'm doing, then I have to come back and take a material body to enjoy the results of those good deeds. And taking the birth in any form of life is always stressful. Maybe as a demigod, It's not so stressful. But demigods don't stay demigods forever. And even if one becomes a demigod, as in the case of Vritrasura, he might get trampled. That Vritrasura, he trampled even the demigods underneath his foot. They had a lot of squashed demigods. So there's no guarantee that even if one becomes a demigod, one will be able to enjoy life. One may get squashed underneath the demon's foot. So this material world is a place of imagination where people are imagining that they're going to enjoy here in the future. Just by some arrangement, they're just one inch behind that carrot. And although they keep on moving forward and the carrot's moving forward, they're still convinced it's only one inch away. Just a little more effort and everything will be there. The carrot will be there, I'll be there, and I'll actually be happy in this world. So Hiranyakashipu, he became proud, and Nrisimhadev gave him the opportunity to increase that pride. Because Nrisimhadev, Krishna, he has to give everyone full opportunity to enjoy the material energy. It's not by accident that someone is given great resources in this lifetime to enjoy. That just means that in their past lifetimes they worked hard by austerity in order to achieve that position. And they're encouraged to utilize that position to the maximum possible. Because at the end, they're going to have to suffer if they misuse their energies in something other than Krishna's service. So one king was asking his minister why this sage was giving blessings to one prince who's giving the blessings. You should live forever. Sounds very good. Another, for a butcher, he gave the blessings, you should neither live nor you should die. To a brahmachari, he gave the blessings, may you die immediately. So the king was a little confused. Oh, why are you giving these blessings? Why did you tell the butcher that he should die, that the prince he should live forever? So the minister told the king, because the prince, he's enjoying sense gratification, and because of his sinful activities, therefore he's going to come back in a hellish life in his next lifetime. So better he lives forever and keeps on enjoying. On the other hand, the butcher, he's engaged in horrible sinful activities. He's suffering, so much ghastly, killing animals, so ghastly to kill animals. And when he dies, he's going to hell and he'll suffer even more there. So better he not live and better he not die. So what about the brahmachari? Why should he die immediately? Well, there's so many brahmacharis. What do we need brahmacharis for? No. The idea is that the brahmachari is going through so much austerity, a real brahmachari, that he's fixed his mind upon Krishna. So better he die immediately and go back to the spiritual world. Why should he further suffer here in this material world? And the devotee, whether he lives or dies, it makes no difference. Because when he's living, he's in the spiritual world. And when he dies, he'll go to the spiritual world. So a devotee, it doesn't matter whether he lives or dies. For the demon who's engaged in so much penance and austerity to get their current position, like we've heard about, the inconceivable austerity that Hiranyakashipu went through, not being able to be duplicated again until the next Hiranyakashipu makes his advent. And the result is he got the body of Hiranyakashipu controlling the universe. So Chaitanya Krishna gave him an extra couple of hours to enjoy, and he was thinking, getting more and more proud and puffed up about his great prowess and that he was invincible. And up until last moment, he was convinced that he was on the top of the universe. And then the shocking truth came suddenly to him, and then he was in his next body. Still completely enthusiastic to enjoy, thinking that maybe he just made some mistake when he wasn't looking, Nrisimhadeva caught him or something like that. Then he was back as Ravana, trying to conquer the universe again and trying to enjoy. When we see people enjoying, we should understand they're living out their last, their pious activities from the past. But they won't last forever. Just like modern civilization, no sacrifice, no yajna, and yet they think they're enjoying so much material facility, especially in the Western world, or at least they used to be. But little did they know, they're simply withdrawing money from the bank account, and soon their bank account will run out, and they'll be left poverty-stricken. On the other hand, those who are suffering in a poverty-stricken condition, they're living out their sinful activities, and therefore in the future, if they somehow or another have the good fortune to perform even a little pious activities in this lifetime, just like we find that when people are poverty-stricken, generally they turn to God. They go to church, they believe in God, they pray, and so they're accumulating pious activities. Although they're suffering this lifetime, the suffering has driven pious people to worship God, and by that such worship in the future, they'll be given a nice material condition. And if they take that material condition and think it's time to enjoy, then again, they'll get another suffering condition. So the material world means going from one suffering condition to an enjoying, so-called enjoying condition, back again to a suffering condition. The example is given when previously they used to torture prisoners. What they do is they take the prisoner and they dunk him underneath the water until he was practically suffocating. And when just before he'd suffocate and drown, they bring him up and he go, "Oh, so fantastic here, just breathe in the fresh air, it's so nice." And after a while, they just put him down again into the water to torture him again. So that's material existence. One moment we're in the relief from our suffering, and we think we're happy. The next moment we're put underneath the water again to suffer. The only relief is actually become conscious of Krishna. So whether we're in the air or underneath the water, we're still always in a different realm of existence. It's transcendental to the good and bad of the material existence. Otherwise, there's no solution to the problems of material existence. We may think we're counteracting our problems right now, but in the future, more problems will come. And in the midst of those problems, we may think material existence is nothing but problems, and in the future, we'll get released from those problems and think we're all right again. Eternally, that goes on. Therefore, the best thing is to do keshu vamanagmanaksu keshu vigatas priha vita ragabaya krodha stita diramuni uchite. One is not disturbed by the threefold miseries, one is not elated when there is happiness, one is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is known as the sage of steady mind. Yak sarvatra navisnehas tat tat prapyu shubhashubham nabina desa nadveshti tatya pragya patishtita. One who is not disturbed by when he finds good, when he's not elated when he finds good, or disturbs when he finds evil, who is said to be perfectly fixed in knowledge. In the material world, one is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising or despising it, firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So the material world is going on like that. People who thought they were going to enjoy forever, they were going to make progress, there was only happiness, the scientists were going to find a cure for all disease, they were going to live forever, and now they can't even get out of their house sometimes in some places. They have to wear a mask, even indoors in some places. They can't breathe. Can't even get a cope of fresh air. And, of course, this is suffering their sinful reactions. It's not by accident. It wasn't the Krishna, it's Chaturmasi, and he fell asleep and the demons took over. Now the demons are perfectly qualified to give everyone their sinful reactions. And even the devotees, Krishna gives them some reactions too, just so they can take shelter of him more and understand that it's not good to take shelter in the material energy because it's the cause of suffering. And let's see what happens to Hiranyakashipu. He got free. Let's see what happens in the end, though. He was pretty convinced that Nrisingadeva was afraid of him, but I don't think any of us are convinced that Nrisingadeva was afraid. But this is dramatic. Krishna is very dramatic. Without some drama, it would be very, it wouldn't be as interesting to read these pastimes. If it, everything just happened, Nrisingadeva appeared, cut the demon to pieces, said, anyone else want to fight? Someone else steps on. No, there has to be a little drama. So the demigods were not thinking, oh, this is just a big show. We know who's going to win. No, they were actually afraid. When the Nrisingadeva let Hiranyakashipu away, then they were afraid they might get into trouble. So they were afraid. And that fear usually causes them to pray even harder to Krishna. Please help us. So without a little drama in this material world, no one takes shelter of Krishna. So we expect we're going to live a peaceful life and everything's going to be fine. And at the end, the Vaikuntha airplane comes and takes us back to Godhead. No one has to become qualified. And part of that qualification is a little drama that forces us to take shelter of Krishna. Either we voluntarily, by preaching, are put into a drama, or material nature will force us into a drama where we'll have to take shelter of Krishna. That's up to us. The drama is going to be there, but how we utilize that drama is up to us. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
But the question is not in connection to the lecture. Is that okay?
I don't know. It depends on what the question is. The question is, how much money can you give me? It's a fine question.
In Niti Shastra, Chanakya Pandit says that if one wants to achieve his goals, one shouldn't disclose his plans to anybody. I'm sure you have heard of that. On another hand, we are supposed to speak truth and never speak lie. So what, I was yesterday in a position, a friend of mine asked me, so what is your plan? What are you going to do? So I was thinking, what shall I tell? I told him the truth. Yeah. But in such a situation, shall we stick to the truth and reveal our plans or just to keep them secret?
Well,
if somebody asks us.
Depends who it is. If someone's going to help you fulfill your plans, you might as well tell them. If someone's going to try and stop you from doing your plans, then why should you tell them? You have to be practical. Especially if it's in Krishna's service. If you plan to take prasadam, you can reveal that to everyone because probably everyone wants to take prasadam. They'll probably come with you and take prasadam too. Depends what it is. If you plan to rob a bank and a policeman comes up and says, what are you doing here? It's not a good time to be honest. You're already a thief. You might as well carry out your plans. Tell the police, oh, I'm just planning to rob the bank. Would you like to help me? You're under arrest.
Okay. Thank you. And the second question is regarding Srila Prabhupada Murti. We say that this is full-size Murti. But I can hardly imagine that Srila Prabhupada was so tiny. Wasn't he a little bigger?
No, he was 5'5", I think.
He was really this size.
I don't know. I can't.
I mean, you have seen him.
You know, how many you do everything here in centimeters?
Yeah.
How much is 5'5"? How much is 6 feet in centimeters? How many centimeters in a foot?
30. About 30.
30. So probably was 155 centimeters.
Oh.
A little bit more than maybe 160 centimeters. Yeah, probably it's quite small.
Huh.
How tall are you?
182.
Yeah, so you're a little taller. Almost a foot taller than him. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandaraj, Mad Bhagavatam, Kidaya.